This morning on Wake Up with Hope, we will be featuring an important talk on how attitude affects our physical health.
Faith for Today will join us to share a devotional thought, and we will have a musical blessing and so much more. Don't miss it.
Good morning and welcome to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for waking up with us today. We're so glad you chose to join us.
Good morning. It's a lovely November morning. And
yes.
Are you excited that today is...
Tell us.
National Sandwich Day.
Oh,
wow. What is your favorite
favorite sandwich? My favorite sandwich, I think, would have to be a grilled cheese sandwich with pesto and tomato.
Oh, that sounds really, really good. You almost stole mine.
Well, what's yours?
Well, mine also has tomatoes. And I love that sandwich. I know what one you're talking about. But I do really enjoy a good tomato sandwich. But the tomatoes have to be fresh, garden-picked tomatoes with bread and mayonnaise. Ooh, that's so yummy, especially when that first tomato comes on that plant.
Oh, yes.
In the summer.
So, friends, how about you? What's your favorite sandwich? Share with us on our official Wake Up with Hope Facebook page. We would love to hear from you.
Yes, we would.
Our program today is sure to be a blessing to you. Aside from the devotional thought, we're going to have music and an interesting talk on organic food versus pesticides. But first, let's take a look back at this day in history.
On this day in history, the One World Trade Center officially opened in Manhattan. The new tower, along with the rest of the World Trade Center complex, replaced the Twin Towers and surrounding complex, which were destroyed by terrorist attacks on September 11, 2001. As the city and the nation reeled from the attacks, which set into motion the series of U.S.-led military operations dubbed the War on Terror, it was decided that the Twin Towers should be replaced by new office buildings, parks, a museum, and a memorial to those who died.
You know, most of us remember the solemn day when the prized World Trade Center went down without warning. It was a day that we will truly never forget. What a solemn reminder it was that anything in this world can be taken from us in a spur of a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And as you go about your day today, remember that what matters the most is how we live for God and others. These are truly the only things that will make an eternal impact. So cherish the moments you have with others and make memories that you will cherish and appreciate for all eternity. And of course, don't forget the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. When we seek Him above all else, He will accomplish the rest for us.
Amen. It is often said that our attitude determines our life. How true can this be when it comes to our physical health? Well, listen in as Dr. Randy Bivens from Life and Health Network explains this concept.
Thomas Jefferson once wrote that nothing can stop the man with the right mental attitude from achieving his goal. Nothing on earth can help the man with the wrong mental attitude. More currently, the popular motivational speaker Zig Ziglar said, "It is not your aptitude, but your attitude that determines your altitude." Attitude. There are literally thousands of studies and articles discussing the impact attitude has on aging and longevity. In a review of 160 published medical studies, it was shown that people who had a positive mental attitude enjoyed better health and longer lives. This link between positive mindset, better health, and longer lifespan was actually shown to be stronger than the link between obesity and reduced lifespan. Let's look at some examples of how our attitude can affect us. One medical study looked at the relationship between anger and heart disease. The participants who demonstrated more anger were found to have 2.7 times more heart disease than the calmer participants. Another study found that people who often felt anxious, unhappy, or depressed were twice as likely to have high blood pressure. And in yet another study, feelings of frustration, tension, and sadness were associated with a doubled risk of ischemic heart disease. Increased rates of heart attack were found in those who tend to worry, with the heaviest worriers increasing their risk for heart attack by 2.5 times. The evidence is clear. When we consider these alarming numbers, it is much easier to recognize the pure and positive value of the Serenity Prayer. The Serenity Prayer simply asks God to grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. So what can we do to brighten our outlook on life? What can we do to improve our attitudes and in return gain more thriving and fulfilling years of life? Wake up early. By getting up early, we can get a head start on our daily tasks. That will reduce our stress. We'll also have time for a healthy breakfast, improving both our worldview and our health at the very beginning of our day. Exercise will do your brain and body a lot of good. Nature has been shown to have a calming influence on your psyche. So spend some active time outdoors, enjoying the natural beauty that God has created. Plan ahead. When you know what you're planning to achieve in a given day or week, you will have less stress. By the way, this works particularly well if you remember to wake up early. Understand that things often do not go according to plan. Yes, planning ahead is good, but when something doesn't work out as planned, it's important to view the situation as an opportunity rather than a roadblock. Get spiritually connected. As we've shown in earlier videos, having a relationship with God and being involved at church play significant roles in overall mental attitude and can significantly add to your lifespan. Be thankful. Have you ever heard the phrase, when life feeds you waves, learn how to surf? No matter what, we can always find things to be thankful for. Try spending less time focusing on yourself and more time focusing on others. This sort of outward thinking can go far in improving your own mental health. Spend time around positive people. Perhaps it goes without saying, but we often mirror the emotions of those around us. Consider who you surround yourself with. Make the conscious decision to be around people who will add cheer and love to your life. Solomon, an ancient king of Israel and widely thought to be the wisest man to have ever lived, once wrote, "A joyful heart is good medicine." He reiterated this later, writing, "For the happy heart, life is a continual feast." In our goal to live longer and more fulfilling lives, attitude may be the most powerful medicine that I, as a physician, can prescribe.
Friends, we are delighted to spend time with you this morning. We're so happy you're here. Coming up, we have special music and a special message just for you. Also, check out our YouTube channel, search Wake Up With Hope, and keep up with each one of our episodes. And don't forget to share us with your friends. Visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more exciting content. We'll be right back.
What you doing?
Oh, I'm mulching these vegetables. They're organic, you know.
Oh, that's a really good idea because all the vegetables in the market are full of pesticides, aren't they?
So is that fish you're eating.
What?
Yeah.
No way. We all know that the biggest concern with pesticides is with vegetables and fruits, not with fish.
Oh, really? You've never heard of biomagnification?
Biomagnificent?
Biomagnification. You know, the big fish eat lots of little fish would eat tons of phytoplankton plants living in pesticide-contaminated waters. And so as you go up the food chain, the concentration of pesticide gets magnified up to 10,000 times.
Oh, and I'm eating it?
Uh-huh. Happens with most meat.
Oh, no. So this is a chemical warehouse?
That's right.
So I should have ordered that phytoplankton burger instead.
Go vegetarian. Reduce your pesticides, herbicides, toxic chemicals, and your heavy metals. doctor's orders.
It's time for music. You know, music is such a powerful way to worship and praise the Lord. Join us now in praising Him. Kate Garriga reminds us of God's amazing care as she sings, He Cares. Coming up right now.
God is so, so good, and He helps us learn how to be like Him. And He cares for us, and He guides us by His Holy Spirit. When you think of how He answers prayer, you see Almighty Alpha and Omega, Omega. He is shining brighter than the light. He cares. Guide when I fall, I'll rise by His Spirit. Hear the nature around us speak, His almighty hand written all over, all over. And He is shining brighter than the light. He cares, He cares. Watching over me. I don't wanna make promises I'll break, not to Jesus. He's my God and He's my Savior. He's the only Alpha and Omega. Omega. And He is shining bright. How to be like Him.
Friends, don't go anywhere. When we return, Faith for Today is bringing us a powerful devotional thought. In the meantime, don't forget to check out our YouTube channel. Simply search for Wake Up with Hope, and when you find it, subscribe to it and keep up with each one of our episodes. We'll see you shortly.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. Thank you for staying with us.
And it's now time for our devotional thought. This morning, it will be brought to us by Faith for Today.
During my senior year of college, I had a killer schedule with early morning classes 5 days a week. So every morning, I would stumble into the bathroom and follow the well-worn trail from the day before. First, I would turn on the shower because the hot water took a long time waking up, too. Second, I would brush my teeth at the bathroom sink. This was a two-stage process. Before brushing, I would swish around an anti-plaque rinse in my mouth. So I picked up the clear bottle, poured the green liquid into the blue cap, and tossed it back into my mouth. About three swishes into it, I knew something was horribly wrong. It felt like I had just shoved 100 bees into my mouth, and they were all jamming their stingers into my tongue at the same time. I spat out into the sink. There were no more clouds in my head now. I was definitely awake. What in the world just happened? It wasn't until that very moment that I noticed something that I should have detected long before. I had two bottles on my sink that were exactly the same. They were both clear. They both were the same shape and size. The blue caps were identical, and they both were filled with green liquid. Side by side, they stood like twins for weeks, but they were very different on the inside. One contained plaques, anti-plaque solution. The other was filled with Noxzema, facial astringent. Unfortunately, I had grabbed the wrong bottle. Trust me, I know. It's what's on the inside that counts. Though they looked exactly the same on the outside, they drastically made two very different impressions on me. The Bible talks about this in the book of John, chapter 4. It all started when Jesus began talking to a woman who had cooties. That's right, cooties, just like the ones you tried to avoid in grade school. Well, maybe not exactly the same. These were Hebrew cooties, but they were based on the same principles. If you were touched by a cootie carrier, or if you touched them, you got the cooties. But the Jews of Jesus' day took it one step further. If you touched the same object that they touched, you could catch it that way. Also, instead of calling it cooties, they called it unclean. The Hebrew mindset of that era was very concrete and based on the five senses. So imagine how difficult it was for them to understand what Jesus was trying to say when he said, "Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it's what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." In their mind, if you forgot to wash your hands before you ate, and then you put some food or drink into your mouth, it would literally become part of you, like the bricks of a house. So if someone unclean touched an apple, and then you ate the apple, you were unclean down to your basic building blocks. That's why, to an onlooker, it doesn't make sense that Jesus would do what he did in John chapter 4. First of all, he talks to a major cootie carrier, a Samaritan woman. Samaritans were considered more unclean than touching a rat. If you accidentally came in contact with a Samaritan, you would have to go through a ceremonial washing or you would remain unclean until sunset, which was regarded as the beginning of the next day. Samaritans were considered filthy traitors to the Jews because, although they were once pure Jews themselves, they had intermarried with Gentiles and blended their faith with that of the pagans surrounding them. And now we see a picture of Jesus sitting on the stone ledge, surrounding a well, and asking a Samaritan woman to give him an unclean drink of water. Imagine this poor woman's confusion. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water?" Now, this conversation was not as strange as it sounds to us today. At that time, the term living water was a common way of saying running water. This well water had left a bad taste in her mouth, and so had the religion of the children of Israel. Jesus was saying he knew a source that was not bitter and would refresh her like never before. Then Jesus takes it a bit farther by saying, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." This is where we miss one of the most incredible teachings of Christ. Unfortunately, the majority of people today do not know Koine Greek, so we miss the play on words here completely. The Greek word that he uses for welling up is in a very special tense. It's actually in a tense that we do not even have in modern English today. It is in the middle tense. Let me explain. In English, we have the active tense. For example, he threw the ball. We know who threw the ball. He did. And then there's the passive tense. The ball was thrown. This is a little bit more mysterious. We're not certain who threw it. And finally, there's the Greek middle tense, which would be like saying the ball threw itself. Now, you can understand why we don't have this tense anymore. We can't have basketballs or baseballs throwing themselves. We can barely keep track of them as it is. Jesus tells the Samaritan woman that if she drinks the water that he offers, that it will become a spring that wells itself up. There's no controlling it. It's got a mind of its own. Now, we don't like losing control, do we? But Jesus said that if you drink the water that he offers, that you're in for an uncontrollable chain reaction. You're going to overflow whether you like it or not. It's coming out. Now, this is where Jesus answers. He answers hundreds of your spiritual questions with this one phrase. Do you want to feel spiritually full? Drink the water. Do you want to be a positive influence that changes the world around you? Drink the water. Now, before we go any further, I know what your next question is. What is the water and how can I get some of it? Well, fortunately, Jesus answers this question three chapters later by standing up at a feast and shouting, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. That's it. It's not as complex as some try to make it. Do you want to connect with the overflowing power of God? Then believe in him and receive the Holy Spirit. Don't map out all the things that you have to do to make yourself worthy of service. Drink in his Spirit right now. I'm serious. In fact, if you're willing to pause for a moment right now and ask him to, God will douse you from the inside out. And that will bring you much hope and joy today.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Roy.
And thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. If you'd like to learn more about our program, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to join us tomorrow morning. We will be featuring stories on how Hope Channel is changing lives around the world. And we will have a devotional thought and so much more.
You know, if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and the study of God's Word, and you would like to learn more about the Bible, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides. Did you miss that? Again, it's hope.study.
We enjoyed spending time with you this morning, and we pray that you will have a blessed day.
Amen. And of course, we can't leave without our daily Bible promise. And today it's found in Exodus chapter 23, verse 25.
And it says, "Worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water. I will take away sickness from among you."
Oh, what a powerful promise. I love that promise.
Yes.
You know, God promises that when we worship him, he's going to take care of us. That's what that promise says. And he's going to bless us even with our food and water. He's going to bring us health and strength.
Amen.
And friend, today as we consider this promise, we encourage you to worship the one who has promised to always take care of you. Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, today, Lord, we put our trust in you. There's someone here today that may be sick and ill, maybe even watching from the hospital bed. And we pray, Lord, that you would draw near to them in a special way. Put your arms around them and bring healing to them, Lord. I pray that you would keep our bodies healthy, our hearts strong, and also, Lord, keep us spiritually strong in you. So we thank you for the hope that we have today. In Jesus' name, amen.